Ask the Expert on the Anton Savage Show.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
And of course, the expert in question is Dr. Eleanor Galvin, our resident GP. So if there are any questions that you have for Eleanor, you can fling them into us now on 53106 or 087 1400 106. One that I want to put to you, Eleanor, which is a question that asks, is it a good idea to allow a small cut to heal without wearing a plaster overnight? And the texter points out, obviously, they don't mean like a big, giant raw, this needs stitches. But your average just minor cut, plaster or no plaster?
So it used to be the kind of old wives' tale, leave it air out, but that's kind of now gone. So generally the way things change, they now say, don't leave it air out. Because you, if you have an open wound, a cut that has broken skin over it, if you put a bandage or an elastic plaster or something over it, you make a nice little environment for it where it's less likely to have bugs in and get infected. And if it doesn't get infected, then it'll heal better.
I was always of the view that the plaster's only purpose was to stop public hemorrhaging. And once that was over, let there at it.
No, and that's gone. So that is gone. So no more old wives' tales. Now, that doesn't mean put your bandage on and leave your filthy bandage on your foot for 5 days. It means change it every day, wash it, clean it, put on the bandage, change your bandage every day. And then when the skin has healed over, then take your bandage off and leave the rest of the air. But not when there's still an open cut in it. Now, if you were to graze your knees or something, I wouldn't really be terribly worried about covering that. But if you had a proper cut, yep, cover it.
What about minor burns? Because again, this will probably, I'll turn out to be wrong on this, but my understanding of burn treatment was you get burned, you run into cold water to stop the burn spreading, and then you get on with your life. Should you smear stuff on it?
Yeah. So there is creams you can get in the pharmacy called Flamazine and things like that that you put onto burns. And the thing that you don't want to do is to put a dressing onto a burn that then it'll get stuck in it. So you can get gauze that's been impregnated with Vaseline and you put that on it.
But
a burn, even a very small burn, can be a very sore thing. Nasty.
Did you know about the percentage survivability rule of thumb for burns?
No, but I think it must be horrific.
It's pretty bad. I was reading a thing that said that it is what adds up, it's your age adding to 100.
Okay.
So if you're 40 and you've 60% burns.
Yeah.
If you're 80 and you've 20% burns, if it adds to 100, that's about as much as the human body can take. And it gets smaller and smaller as you get older and older.
Your hand to the side of your oven.
You'd know all about it.
No, it's not a nice thing. So maybe kind of a little bit of burn care stuff you could give somebody you love for Christmas.
Have you ever done the one where you forget that a pan has been in the oven and you're alerted to it by the sound of your hand on the handle? Oh, that sharpens the mind. Anton, last night while sleeping on my left side, my inner ear was uncomfortable and sounded like a heartbeat. When I pressed the outside gently, I got a little relief. It's difficult to describe. It was like a thud, thud sound. Could this be an inner ear issue? I have a runny nose as well.
I would think it's a middle ear issue and that you have a eustachian tube dysfunction and that you have fluid in your middle ear. And then the pulse from blood vessels around your middle ear is being transferred through your middle ear and you're hearing what sounds like your pulse in your ear. Now, under a lot of circumstances, hearing your pulse in your ear is a huge medical emergency. And it can be an awful red flag of all sorts of things, but not this. This is a person who's a cold in their nose, a bit of fluid in their ear, and they give their old, that's their part of their ear, an old tug, and that, you know, knocks something loose. You could try a bit of Valsalva manoeuvre, you know, like when you hold your nose and blow and you're on an airplane, try to get it clear, a little bit of decongestant spray from the chemist up your nose, not in your ear, because that's a little cul-de-sac. So up your nose, a bit of decongestant spray to try and clear that little tube and clear your middle ear.
Can I ask a question about your eustachian tubes? Do they connect to your eyeballs?
They don't connect to your eyeballs. They connect to kind of the back of your nose, the pharynx.
But is there something that comes up? Because I sneezed the other day and my lower eyelid did a little bubble. And I thought, what was
that?
You're
very special.
No, there's some connection.
It all probably connects to the space behind your nose. So there's kind of the potential space of the back of your head behind your nose. There's a lot of things drain in there and drain out of there.
So I shouldn't worry about it?
No, you can't.
I had a headache and fatigue all week. Is this a viral thing? I'm so dehydrated this week, no matter how much I drink. You just can't tell. Doctors never know if it's viral unless you take swabs. Sure you don't. You can't really tell.
But why would we take swabs? Because it'll take days for it to come back from the lab. So yes, we can tell. We can tell everything.
Can you?
Of course. If what's coming out of you is running clear, it's generally viral.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, in this instance, we can't see what's running out of this person. No. Thankfully, for my case, I've had a headache and fatigue all week.
That sounds viral. That sounds very viral. And they hopefully have had their flu vaccine, and maybe they're just having a minor flu, been saved from the nearly dying flu because they've had their flu vaccine. But that kind of fatigue, muscle ache, tiredness, all that's viral.
Texas say, recovering from two broken arms, are there any supplements to aid recovery? This begs the question, how did you type this out? Fair play to you. I assume Siri must have helped.
That's fabulous. Two broken arms, I can think of a whole lot of things you couldn't possibly do, like pull up your pants.
This is it. I had a friend who broke two wrists simultaneously. How do you get through that?
I know, you'd need a very good assistant. I think like vitamin D, it's good for bone health. Vitamin D is good for us all anyway. But I would think rest up. Don't be doing anything. Have a little bit of telly time.
Dear Doctor, I have body edema for 6 months following a lack of ability from spine fractures and correctional surgery. God help you. I've tried elevated legs and drinking water, but no improvement. I also have Addison's disease. Please advise.
That's really tough. I'm presuming they're under plenty of medical care and they've had blood tests and their kidneys are working.
What's body edema? That's a full body swelling.
Yeah, and it could be like lymphedema as well, where kind of the interruption of the lymph fluid flowing around you. There's a lot of physios who are very trained in lymph drainage and they manually push the fluid up your body's so as to try and drain it out better. And that might be worth a shot. And they can sometimes bandage you so as to try and compress the extra fluid out of you. But that sounds...
That's hard, particularly when you're recovering from significant surgery. By the way, we were talking about flu earlier on. I get the sense that both flu and respiratory conditions are quietly peaking off the chart. Am I right in this?
Totally and utterly peaking. Yeah, it's pretty grim.
Is it?
Yeah, really grim.
And I hear reports of significant attendance in both child pediatric A&Es and pediatric hospitals for kids with very severe flu.
Yeah, and if you need to go to hospital, you need to go to hospital. But you should be trying to... manage these things at home up to a point. But if your child's having difficulty breathing, if you're an adult, if you're an old person, a vulnerable person, and you're finding it really hard to breathe, or you're having a really bad chest pain, you have blue lips, go to hospital. And you know what? They keep going. This happens a lot of other winters as well, and they keep going. But it is serious. And people do
and
die of
it. Is it a particularly aggressive strain, or is there a diminution in the number of people who are getting vaccinated?
Well, I think our vaccine numbers... are going okay. I don't know why everybody doesn't do it, but people think, I know, I never had the flu. Well, wait till you have the flu. From evermore, you'll be converted to having a flu vaccine. It's still not too late to have the flu vaccine. Flu season is going to go for months yet. So I think if you haven't had the flu vaccine, have it, because at least you'll have an easier time. If you are incredibly sick, go to hospital. If you're not, stay out of circulation. Don't go into work and be a martyr and then have everybody else sick the next week. If you have elderly relatives that you have to visit and things like that, wear a mask.
It's funny, there's a line about that Mark Twain had about seasickness where he told a story where he said that he was seasick on a ship and somebody came to him and said, you don't need to worry, you don't die of seasickness. And he said, it was only the prospect of death that was keeping me going.
Yes.
The same is true of flu. You get a bad
horrible
flu.
Oh, absolutely horrible.
No crack at all. Text asking, I have never had a smear test and I'm thinking about getting one. Can you tell me what happens?
Come along and have your smear test.
Thanks, Eleanor. I was hoping for that offer.
Come along. Everybody, when they come in, first of all, for their first smear test, they're terrified. And they say, oh, I've never had a smear test, never had a smear test. Put them up on the couch.
Now, what sort of age should they be coming first?
25. Right. 25 to 65. And if you've never had one and you're 38, we still love to see you. Just come in. You have to register on a smear test register, which nearly everybody is registered on. I think it's kind of scraped from PPS numbers. And you'll get an invitation, but you might have moved house. Your address might be different. Come. You don't even have to, if you don't have a GP, you can go to any GP and get a smear test. That is part of the contract of the GPs. So you come, you have a smear test, you'll be absolutely terrified. You'll have it done. It'll be done in 2 minutes flat. Filling the form takes longer than doing the smear test. It's a small plastic speculum. Put it into your vagina, open it up a little bit, a tiny soft brush, take a few cells, put it in a pot. Then we double label the pot and we'll do all sorts of other things.
Painful?
Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. And afterwards, every single one of them says, Asha, that was nothing. And they come in then happily and have their other smears done. And then it's kind of like every 3 years, kind of from 25 to 29, it's every 3 years. And then from 30 to 65, it's every 5 years, because we now test for HPV as well. And another thing an awful lot of them say is, sometimes I try and nab them when they're in for something else and say, you wouldn't have a smear done now at all? And they say, oh, well, I can't have it done today because I didn't shave my legs. I'm like, I really don't care that you didn't shave your legs. Nobody would even notice you didn't shave your legs. It's winter time. We're all cold. Hop up on the couch.
Does leg shaving decrease in wintertime?
Of course. It's cold. We're a cold country. But you're the way that people feel self-conscious. They say, oh, no, I'll come. Or, do you know, I don't have the right knickers on today. We don't care. We're taking them off you.
On that note, as lifelong principles go.
Yeah, just come have it done. Eleanor, you'll be thrilled. It'll be a big job done. And it's a lifesaver. It's a lifesaver. Eleanor,
thank you so much. And of course, I suppose as well, the other thing that's a lifesaver is when we were talking about flu vaccines, HPV vaccine being an absolute game changer in that respect.
Game changer.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.